Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breeze.
What's up? What's up, everybody? You know, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, well, I don't know. There ain't much going on the markets. It's obviously extremely quiet. It's just a big nothing. Continue to repeat the same day over and over again. On Tuesday, there was a little bit of extra action, as you saw a little bit of a reverse late in the day. Excuse me, but late in the day. But at the end of the day, it was really not much. We continue to stay in these ridiculously tight ranges that really don't go much of anywhere. I think that at the end of the day, that creates the overall bigger problem with the overall market. I think that, again, it's simply a model that is waiting and waiting and waiting for something. Now, what is it waiting for? Well, I think if you look at it, okay, we've got a number of issues in which we could be waiting for. But one of the things you have going here now, which is clearly evident, is the big traders are not buying here. If they're doing anything, they're selling, and they have been selling and accumulating shorts for a while. They are holding record positions from the short side. Now, what does that mean? Well, it doesn't mean a lot, except that they're short. Now, again, they're not necessarily short. I mean, they do own long positions as well. They're just really, what they're doing is they're kind of doing a backwards hedge. Not the way that I would do it, but that's kind of what they're doing. So, but what that means is this, very simple. They're kind of carrying like an old boxer. You go back to Digstown, whatever, they're kind of holding up the market, letting the retail investor get in, because the retail investor is getting trapped here, thinking that, okay, it's different this time. We're not going down. And of course, it'll be a bang zoom when it's ready to go. But again, the second thing is that the markets are waiting for a reason to go down. Now, we have no idea what the reason is going to be. There's no telling what will affect the psyche of the markets. Okay, absolutely no telling what will eventually drill into the heads of the psyche here, because really what happens is we get into a mindset, and this is where the mind games of trading come in. All right, you get into a mindset of what's going on, and all of a sudden, no matter what, you kind of stay in that mindset. So we're in the mindset now. The markets are in the mindset now of, well, we're only going to buy. We're only going to buy the dips. We're going to buy the dips. We're going to buy the dips, which is fine. All right. It's not a terrible way to look at it, but that's really what's happening. But in the meantime, the markets look like they're trying to change and turn over. Now, we're not telling you that the markets can go down from here, but I think the markets are definitely, without question, waiting for that reason to go ahead and turn over. You know, what will be the driving factor? Again, I believe it'll be something that will be totally obscure. But you saw some interesting action in other markets on Tuesday. You know, you look at the gold market, flying up, trying to test that 1300. You look at the silver market trying to, try to run up. Bitcoin continues to be a big story. Again, I think it's a bubble. And I'm not saying that Bitcoin is not going to be a viable or a good currency. I just, again, this is like any other chart. You get up the way they're getting up, and it's illogical to watch the way that goes up. So I would be very, very concerned and very leery of that action. Not that I wouldn't buy it in a pullback. I just wouldn't be a buyer here. All right. But that does indicate to me, some of the things that are happening in markets indicate to me that there's some fear out there And when I mean fear, you know, again, the markets are driven by Greer and feed. Feed and Greer. Fear and greed, okay? But at the end of the day, what we're really seeing is I think the fear is showing up in other asset classes right now. In other words, if you look at gold, I mean, I don't consider it a fear asset, but most do. So I think you look at gold, and gold is working its way higher, all right? And it's had a hell of a nice bounce. You know, it held the 1225 level. It held, you know, other levels much better. So at the end of the day, that is a thing that would be fear. The bond markets are ridiculously going up. It's unbelievable because we understand and believe that the Fed is going to raise. Well, the bond should not be going up, but that's also an old fashioned fear trade. All right. You run the treasuries. You know, the old theory is, if you're afraid and you want to protect, you run to the bond markets and the U.S. dollar. And, of course, the U.S. dollar is going lower. So that is not showing any fear. And one more thing, okay, the volatility is not showing any fear. So it's really kind of a mixed bag and a mixed market. But then if you look at some of the outside spaces, like, you know, I've been talking about cattle, you know, because for me, you trade anything, doesn't matter, but I was looking to sell, and I really had to be very careful because it just kept going up, right? It was just sticking it to us. And then all of a sudden on Tuesday, I had a key reversal. Now we'll see how it plays out, you know, the next couple of days. But I think that, you know, it's something to look at. Oil, we looked for oil to bounce. Oil did bounce, all right, and had a nice bounce. So when you look at all these things and how they function and how they work, it's something that you need to kind of keep your mind on and keep clear as to what's going on, because it will, you know, give you some good hints and some good clues of what's next in the market. So from my perspective, you really can't be a buyer here unless you know how to hedge. Okay. If you're a hedger and a buyer, it's great. Okay. Then you buy anytime. You never not buy. You continue to put money into the market because that's really, you know, a good thing. If it goes, because, you know, when you're doing it that way, you're putting yourself in a position for some great success. But if you're just buying to buy, I would not put new money to work today if I didn't hedge it. Okay. Now, again, there might be some stocks you want to play. I mean, certainly if you want to look at the oil services stocks, those are certainly reasonably priced down here now. It doesn't mean they won't go lower, but certainly I would have no problem buying something like that. All right. So that's where we look at it. But from a general market perspective, if you look at just the big picture of the market going up and down, I don't think the market has much room to go on the upside. Now, it may go higher. Again, I'm not telling you it will not. I'm not trying to scare you and say that it never will go up. I'm just saying that the way that it's the formation we're seeing right now does not look terrific. It does not look very exciting. It doesn't look like we have another big bomb to the upside. It looks like we could grind up, but really get pounded down if indeed and when they're ready to sell off. But, you know, we'll talk about more of that and more things when we come back from the break. But in the meantime, go to Audible Books. It's audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. Go there and get yourself, go get Fed Up from our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. Great book, and she read it herself. So it was really great. And if you want an inside scoop on the Federal Reserve, she verifies a lot of things that I say all the time. So go check that out. In the meantime, the Sporting Edge this week, they got on the Dayton Flyers head basketball coach, Anthony Grant. You got to check them out Saturday. It's really going to be exciting, and it's a big coup for them to get him on the show. So check that out. And of course, we've got our new futures program started last night. It's not too late to try to get in if you want to check it out. And then next week, a week from today, is our hedging program. And these are the last programs until probably October, because I'm just tired. I want to take some time off. But in the meantime, also libertytalk.fm, you can download the Bubba Show every single day. Go check it out. And also you can download the Sporting Editor on the weekends. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I'm going to step out here for a break. I'll be right back right after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It's the Bubba Show, and I'm singing a song. I'm a terrible singer, too. Not good. I break a couple of panes of glass. But anyways, Welcome back. And you know, I tell you, there's some things that really irritate me and bother me. You know, I'm a regular commentator on many of the networks, and you know me, when I go on, you get the scoop, right? You get what I think. It doesn't make me right, but you get exactly what I'm thinking, right? I don't ever try to beat around the bush. I will not say something on air, even though they've tried it many times, that I don't believe. I'm not going to try to fool or bring up the public. And I think that, you know, part of their reporting and part of their change in some of the things they've done has been more to, you know, to trap create the audience, right? Tell them what they want to hear and make it good news. Get all these idiots on that only know how to talk about, you know, things that are positive. You know, get these billionaires on that never sell anyway, so they don't suffer. All right, and then of course, you know, of course, it gives you that comfort feeling, and you know, you get involved, and of course, then the markets collapse. But again, I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just saying that, you know, that's the MO, right? You know, tell them what they want to hear. Keep me happy, and I'm not a fan. I'm very unhappy about the way that works. You know, again, that's why I won't say it. And that's, of course, you know, I'm one of the few guys that I'm the only guy on TV that I know of on any station that trades his own account. All right. I don't trade customer money. I'm not involved. I'm not interested in trading customer money. I trade my own money. All right. I don't want to trade anybody else's money because, again, I want to, you know, I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to, you know, I don't want you to be upset. I want to just do my thing. And, you know, I've done this for 38 years, and I see no reason to get involved and complicate my life with other people's money. It's just easier to do my thing. But I'm on national TV, okay, and I do my own thing. And, you know, all of a sudden, you know, they use me less and less on certain networks because, you know, they know that I'm not going to say bye, bye, bye. They know I'm going to say, hey, you know, we're a little bit frothy here, you know. You're not going to get your tax cut. So you can keep asking for it every day, but you're not going to get your tax cut. I mean, again, it's not going to happen because of the broken down government system that we have. You can talk about it all you want. You can give me all of the reasons why, but there's only one reason why not. And the one reason why not is because we have a system that is flawed. We have a system that we have a bunch of idiots in the government that will refuse to compromise, refuse to make it happen for the American people. Because the truth of the matter is they don't give a rat's ass about you or me or any of them. Now, I believe that Donald Trump does care. I believe that he'd do anything to get all these things done. But unfortunately, a president of the United States of America is not the CEO of his own comfort company. He can't get things done the way that he'd like to get them done. And I think he's learning the hard way that, you know, a lot of these things are a problem. And of course, again, we talked about this last week. The greed and the garbage out of Washington, the swamp, as they call it, is really just a bunch of trash. Okay, those guys and gals, most of them don't care about you or me. Now, I'm sure there's a few. I can't lump them all together. But I can tell you that if they were reasonable people, then we would have our tax cuts. We would have a healthcare system. We would have a setup that would be perfect for everybody. Now, again, that doesn't mean that there's not going to be bumps in the road, right? There's no way to avoid bumps in the road. But what happens because of the way that things have been controlled, because of our manipulated economy, right? Because of their inability to stay within a budget, because of all of those things that are bad, we get to pay the price for it. And quite frankly, between you and me, it pisses me off. All right. I'm sick and tired of hearing these jackasses come out there and talk about what they're trying to do. In the meantime, they're still talking about a debt ceiling hike. Now, why should we give them a debt ceiling? Why should we raise the debt ceiling? Let them cut down the debt. Let them quit spending. Why don't they take a pay cut? They don't take pay cuts. Why don't they cut their salaries? Okay. This is the problem. We, the middle-class American people, have to sit there and take it. Whatever they decide that they want to do. They don't take the disadvantage. So when we look at it and you hear these people talk on some of these business networks around, they give you the rah, 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 and it's this fault or it's that. Let's face it, okay? People have to get along. We have to do what's best for the country. And I can't, like I said, I can't say them all, but let's say 90% of who's in Washington is garbage. They're there for the money only. Okay. They're there for all the special interests that they get. And at the end of the day, they could care less whether you starve or whether you make $1 billion. Right? If you make $1 billion, they're going to want a piece of it. But they could care less if you starve. All right. They could care less if I go broke. They have no interest in me, really, is because they'll find somebody else. You know, this is Congress and the Senate is a lot like banking. All right. The banks don't give a crap about you either. They just want you to pay the loan. But they'll continue to work with you because, again, remember, they're creating that artificial money anyways. So if you don't pay them back, what's the big deal? Right. I mean, again, if they loan out nine to one, if they get paid back by 40% and they can screw the other, you know, 50-60% and get a little bit, they're making money anyways. No big deal. Again, it's the biggest phony in history that they can go ahead and create those fractional reserves and those that banking where they can go ahead and spin out more money. And I get news for you, as I've said, and I will continue to say this, that there's no way that most of them have enough to back what they got out in the first place. But when you can create money, okay, you know, it's like playing Monopoly, right? If I'm in a Monopoly game, I got the, I'm the banker, I control. A banker never goes broke. So if you continue to allow these things to happen, what do you end up with? You end up with a bunch of crap, right? So we've got the bankers that don't care. And of course, why should they care? Because they got someone to bail them out. And they had Ben Bernanke and all the other jerks. All right. I mean, again, you think that those guys, again, do you think those guys really care? All they care is that they can get the inflation number high enough so that we can pay more taxes so they can continue to do the lousy work that they do now. All right. And then if you put that into work with the politicians, they don't care either. And why would they? They're not there for you and me. Okay. It's supposed to be for you and me. We're supposed to vote. But first of all, many of us, and admit it, raise your hand if it is you, you got lazy. You didn't do the research, you didn't vote, and we didn't get the right people in the offices who really care. All right? So now we've got people in there that, A, been there so long that they figured out every loophole how to scramble and grab cash for themselves, or you've got the new breed that, you know, are going to fight. And then, of course, you got the Chuck Schumers and the Nancy Pelosi's and the jerk-offs like that. All right, that aren't going to give in. They don't. That should show you. Okay, that alone should show us one thing. All right, that they don't give a crap about you and me. Okay, because they're too busy fighting over nonsense versus trying to make a deal. The Democrats, the far left, are still fighting to get Trump out of office versus making everything better. The jackass Republicans behind the scenes that are backbiting and snipping at the back of Donald Trump, they're just as bad. Again, I'm not picking on one party or the other. I'm saying that they're equally responsible for being basically worthless because what they do is worthless. They do not do what I want them to do from a big picture standpoint. There's not one thing that I can think that they do that I would stand behind. Now, I'm sure there might be. If I'm lucky, I might be able to figure out. But in truth of it, there's nothing that they do because, again, I think the whole system is flawed from the Fed to whatever. And speaking of the Fed, go to audiblebooks.com, audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show and download Fed Up by our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth. You want to know the inside scoop and the inside poop on the Federal Reserve, that will give you one heck of a good look at it. And I think you should check it out because, again, she's really good. She's really smart. And she's been through the whole side of the business. In the meantime, make sure you go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge. And, of course, this week, The Sporting Edge has a special guest, the Dayton Flyers head basketball coach, NCAA basketball coach, Anthony Grant will be on the show. So make sure you check that out. And in the meantime, we started our futures class last night. We got hedging started next week. It's not too late to get in. If you want to learn how to trade, you want to get better, you want to protect your money, any of the above, go check it out. We'll be back after the break with more of The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you after the break. The Bubba Show. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you, and... well, tomorrow, what do we got? We got Jim Comey testifying. What's he going to say? Well, apparently, you know, we can make certain assumptions through the stock market, saying that he's probably not going to say a hell of a lot. You know, it's amazing how information never becomes, you know, totally private. You know, and stays that way. So, you know, based on what you're seeing, he's probably not going to say a heck of a lot. And, you know, it seems like Mr. Comey likes the spotlight. He likes the big things. Now, maybe he's got, you know, something stashed away. You know, it's hard to say where, you know, where he stands, particularly in the world of in the world of politics. He was kind of like, you know, against Trump, then kind of for Trump, just by the announcements that came out, and now who knows? But I think you'll see, you know, will the markets react? I mean, they certainly haven't priced in anything. I mean, is this the type of item that could actually create the market sell off? And the answer is probably not. You know, again, one of the things we look at from a longer-term point of view is that, you know, A, most people can't keep their mouth shut. And, you know, unless he's been just totally silent and hasn't said anything to anybody, usually a lot of that kind of stuff leaks out. And obviously we've had no major leaks, or at least no major leaks that mean anything to the overall market. And that's always something that, you know, we want to understand about, you know, these are things we talk about, market expectations. And, you know, where are we going? What's next? And, you know, basically, the markets don't expect a heck of a lot out of what he's going to say. Now, you know, you've got some issues and some problems. And of course, you know that the politics of the world, or the politics of the United States, have been pretty rotten. And here we are. We've got, you can bet your ass that there's a lot of people on the left that are hoping he's got something magic in there that he can, you know, get to it. But at the end of the day, you know, you really don't have much based on here. There's not being much being priced in, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of fear or a lot of issues that we're going to deal with here. So, you know, I would assume it will be a big nothing. I don't think that you're going to see something that will have a dramatic effect, but you never know. You know, maybe he does have something, you know, and who knows? But again, these are things you look at that can have an effect on markets. And, you know, I think that in my opinion, this is all a bunch of BS. That's my opinion. All right. I think that, you know, you've got so many things rotating around, and so many things that have some importance, that this is a virtual nothing. But it doesn't mean, now this is the key, it doesn't mean that it won't trigger something. Now, I personally do not believe that it will trigger anything. Okay. I personally believe that it's going to be a big nothing, because I think that it would be kind of out there already. And, you're not seeing any market reaction. You know, basically, it's even they've been the networks have been pumping it up because obviously it's going to be shown. Though they're trying to get ratings, but as far as a does it mean anything? I think not. I think that you're going to see the usual. And you know, it's amazing where we see, you know, a president. I mean, how much how much time is he going to spend in court or in other areas, right? I mean, between the travel ban and everything else, and what is the big deal about the travel ban? And more importantly, what is the big deal about the wording of it? I mean, is it not? Are we not supposed to protect ourselves first? Is that not what it's supposed to be? You know, I've got an issue with everything. Of course, I've got an issue with all this political correctness because I think that we become far too sensitive on certain things. And you can bet that in some of the boardrooms and in some of the private meetings, there isn't much political correctness going on. And why do we care when we should be caring about why aren't people working? Why aren't we growing? Why aren't we getting better? All right? Why are we in worse shape from an employment standpoint than we were in 2008? Why are we in so much debt? Those are the things we should be worrying about. Again, you know, this reminds me of, you know, the big deal, you know, back when if you remember the baseball players on PEDs, when they brought in all these guys in for a hearing, why is Congress involved in it? All right. Why is it there a big hearing on it? Why are we paying for it? And those are things to me that just, you know, again, from a logic standpoint, I think there's a lot bigger problems that we need to be worried about than what did Trump say to Comey? Did he tell him to ease off of what's his name? Or did he, you know, did he hinder the investigation? And I believe that if he hindered the investigation, then it would be out and then that would be a problem. But I don't believe that he did. So I'm looking at it from the standpoint is we've got so many problems right now in the economy. We've got so many problems in trying to get these programs done. We got so many problems with growth that why aren't we worried about that? All right. We're hearing them talking about, you know, stretching debt out over another 25 years. Now, why is that? Why can't we cut the budget? Why can't we cut what we have to pay instead of having to accumulate more debt? You know, one of the problems when you borrow from the future is we don't have to pay it back. The next generation will have to pay it back. And why can't, you know, when you're a parent, you know, your goal is, if you can, is to obviously live a good life, have your kids live a good life, and then leave them something when you pass on. And you know, how many parents leave their kids in debt? You know what I'm saying? So why can't the business of the government stop creating so much debt? Where is it written that we have to accumulate this kind of debt on a regular basis? I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm quite frankly, I'm sick of it. It's the whole model of it doesn't matter. It's the whole model of it's the Federal Reserve. They can print us more money. And I don't want them to print me more money. What I want to do is I want the United States of America to live on the amount of money that they have, which obviously they have nothing. But these, in their cockeyed themes, they like to create, you know, oh, we have a surplus because we didn't spend, you know, we didn't increase the debt. Where does it say that you have to increase debt? You know, where did we get off the center of, you know, the budget and knowing that, you know, we don't have to live on a budget? I mean, if you know what you have to expense every year, why can't you live within that budget? you know, that seems to be, to me, something that is fairly simple to accomplish, except that too many people have their hands up. And I think that you have to really say, hey, you know, we need to cut back. We need to, you know, every person of the middle class had to cut their spending habits down after 08. I mean, why is it that we don't spend, have to cut down our spending as a government? Again, the logic behind it is stupid. It's ridiculous. And it just doesn't make any real sense, you know, going forward. I mean, why do we have such a, you know, in other words, like a big payroll, right? When the private sector is getting hammered, you know, right? You know, you want to spend money, at least spend money that you have a chance to get back. You know, it's the theory behind you, if I have employees, you know, I want to hire employees that I think can produce income. I don't want to just pay. And it just, again, the whole logic behind the whole mess. So we'll see what it brings. We'll see what changes, but it'll change nothing. I mean, that we already know, but at the end of the day, that's, you know, kind of where we're at. And, you know, we'll see, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's very frustrating from my point of view, but what's not frustrating is I just finished reading the book Fed Up. And of course you can get one yourself at audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show. And that's our friend Danielle D. Martino Booth. She'll be on in a couple of weeks. But she wrote the book Fed Up. She worked for the Fed and she backs up a lot of things that I'm talking about right now. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. And of course, when you miss a show, you got to go to libertytalk.fm and download the show every day. And of course, the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And Sporting Edge has a big group of guests this weekend, including Anthony Grant, the head coach of the Dayton Flyers basketball team. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out here for a break, and we will be right back after the break with more The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz coming right back to you. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Wednesday, June the 7th. And, you know, we've got, you know, tomorrow we talked about Comey. Tomorrow we also have the ECB, European Central Banks, and what are they going to do? And, you know, we've got the Fed next week. But does anybody out there think they're going to actually do anything? Do we actually think that they have the capability of doing anything? Do we actually think they have the brains to do anything? I mean, let's look at the intelligence level, not from a book smart, but let's look at the intelligence level from a practical standpoint. Do we think that anybody out there actually has the brains to do anything? And I'm going to say my vote is no. They have no brains. They have no understanding of how a market functions. They have no understanding that you have to at some point stop the presses and not to print a newspaper. You got to stop printing the money. It becomes a point. There's a point in time in every system, all right, that you have to make some tough decisions. Now, baseball teams make them. You know, they cut a key guy who's been around for a long time, but he's just no longer has value, and they need to get better. You know, everywhere we go, they make changes. When are we going to make changes in the government? When are we going to make changes for the betterment of the middle class? You know, if you wipe out or continue to wipe out middle class America, you're going to not only wipe them out, but you're going to wipe out 50% of the businesses out there. The small businesses that depend on the middle class, you're wiping out. You now have Amazon, Jeff Bezos, you know, he's smart. I got nothing wrong. I don't like him, but I got nothing against his business practices and what he has become since his inception. And once they really figured out the model, is the great destroyer of others. I mean, his company, the Amazon, they seek and destroy anybody who gets in their way. And now offering their new Prime service to people that make less at half price, basically, on a monthly payment. You know, all he's doing is he's trying to fight against Walmart. All right. And, you know, Walmart had the angle figured out pretty good. They had, and this is where the one place I think Amazon might have some trouble, where they won't get them. But, you know, Walmart has the check cashing service and the whole thing. So you bring your paycheck there. You know, you don't have a bank. You don't want to pay the bank. You cash it right at Walmart. And, you know, Amazon obviously doesn't have stores, so it's hard for them to do that. But that's how Walmart traps a lot of people in. Very similar to, you know, Las Vegas, the Orleans casino. You know, they have a setup for employees to cash paychecks from any casino. So all they're doing is they're getting you to come into their casino. Now, you know, if you can get somebody to come into your store, your casino or something, there's a good chance they might play something. So doesn't it make sense to get him in? Well, so Jeff Bezos is just simply putting him in. And he's giving himself an opportunity to close him on everything else. So I think that, you know, again, it's disturbing from the standpoint that we see the continued destruction of the middle class and the small business and the entrepreneur. But obviously ingenious from his standpoint, because it just means that they're going to get bigger. And of course, as long as Wall Street continues to support them, now again, I'm not a supporter of the stock because I just don't think it's valued properly. I think it's overvalued. But I can't take it away. I mean, I listen, you'll never hear me criticize somebody who's doing the right thing, who's smart. But at the end of the thing, you know, you have to look at it and go, you know, is it doing the overall country good? And the answer is no, it's not. And again, this retail ice age, this whole destruction of retail, you know, that was a big thing for, you know, mom and pops. You open up a little store. It allows them to make money in their own store. It allows them to hire a few people and make payroll. And we're destroying all that just to become, you know, bigger, faster, and better. And again, it's the technology age. And again, obviously, progress is progress, and we got to move on. But, you know, this is why, you know, some of the things we do that don't make a lot of sense. And that's like bringing back the jobs to America, because we've got people not working. We've got a lot of people that need to work, all right, that are not working and will never get jobs. And at the end, we end up paying for that. So I just think that, you know, there's so many better ways to do things. And I think that the swing and the miss of everybody here is missed. And that's where I don't think it even goes back to the infrastructure. You know, we've been on here at the Bubba Show. We've been on the infrastructure for almost 10 years now. That rebuild America, put these people to work so that you can train the next generation. And we're not getting there. And, you know, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, all right, it's a problem that if we don't get somebody that helps, and again, I go back to Trump for a minute. I mean, Trump is a business guy that understands the economics of business, whereas the economists don't understand the economics of Jack. And this is where, you know, you have a job, you want to work, you want to pay your bills, you want to live. And right now we've got too many people that can't do that. And you now are starting to see, you know, a bigger separation and some bubbles starting to form, you know, not only in the stock market, which I believe is a bubble, the Bitcoin market, which I believe is a bubble, but now you've got some bubbles forming in the housing markets in certain areas. Now in my area, you know, the state of Illinois, you know, people are, it's the mass exodus here. You know, Trump wants to build a wall to keep out illegals. Illinois better build a wall to keep in the citizens, because they're continuing to destroy their tax base because of their idiocy. But of course, when you got a state that's so screwed up, and of course, what is it, 5 out of the last 9 governors or whatever went to jail, you know, that creates an issue. But at the end of the day, I'm just saying that, you know, where does all the money go? What are they doing with it? You know, it's an interesting conundrum, because we just don't do things the right way. And that's where I always felt that having a businessman as a president, having a CEO that understood the dynamics of a business would make things better. But again, when you're dealing with the morons around you, you know, it makes it much challenging. I always wonder, who wants to be a politician? What is the reasoning behind wanting to be in politics? You know, and you know, you wonder, some of these guys spent, you know, $20, $30, $40 million of their own money to get a job that pays $100,000 a year or $200,000 a year. Kind of the math doesn't kind of work. So why are they trying to get there? Well, I mean, my opinion is they're trying to get there because there's obviously more perks and they're going to make more than the $40 million they spent. But really what that does is that punishes back to the middle class. And that, I think, becomes the bigger problem. I mean, you realize we've got, we're in June, all right? You've got the House and Senate have 43 working days left this year. 43 working days left this year. How's that? Nice career, huh? You talk about an entitlements. I mean, you know, they're getting paid a fortune, and they do nothing anyways, plus with their perks, and here we are. But, hey, in the meantime, we'll see what happens tomorrow. We got Comey testifying. We've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. We got the ECB. Let's see if it actually puts some action in the markets. In the meantime, go to check out Audible Books, audibletrial.com/The Bubba Show to get a free book. And of course, I'm recommending Fed Up, which is by our friend Danielle DiMartino Booth, which is also read by her, which is pretty good, pretty cool. And also go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day, as well as The Sporting Edge on the weekend. And of course, The Sporting Edge, Xander's got the head coach of the Dayton basketball Flyers, Anthony Grant, on. So go check that out. In the meantime, everybody have a great day. Thank you so much for being here. Love hanging out with you. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horace. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. The Bubba Show.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.